My scripture reading is in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, starting with the first verse. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive the share of his crops. Consider what I say. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. And we know that there's love and there's truth and there's life in these words. And Lord, we ask you to help us to understand the things that you would have us to understand. Lord, and put to use those things, Lord, that brings us closer to you and allows us to be of service to our brothers and sisters. And Heavenly Father, bless the rest of this service and all the words and thoughts that are expressed, and help them to help each one as you would have. In the name of Yeshua, we ask, and amen. The text that I will use today is 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, and this is the NIV version of the Bible. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Aren't those wonderful words of encouragement? And this is the Apostle Paul, and he is speaking to a young man named Timothy, and writing to him words of encouragement. And you know, when I read those kind of words, it makes me think of another probably reasonably young man that was faced with the reality of his leader and the one that was God's servant in charge. And that was the situation between Joshua and Moses as Moses reached the end of his journey. And Joshua was then to become the leader and take over God's work with his people. And my message to you today is taken from all of these verses. And the title of my message is, Be Strong and Courageous. Be strong and courageous. And I'll never forget the first time that I read and the Holy Spirit really allowed it to sink into my mind and my heart when I was reading the first few chapters in the book of Joshua. And it's along the same line. And I would like to refer to that here. And that is Joshua 1. And we want to look at 8 and 9. Joshua 1 8 and 9. And this is God speaking to Joshua. And what about, among other things, words of encouragement for Joshua as he became the leader of God's people? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. God is speaking to Joshua, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Do you see? What at least these verses let you know how being successful in what you do, even prospering, that you need to know that part of that involves God, that in it involves His Word. It involves dedication to His Word. And in verse 9, God says to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that wonderful? God says, "I know you, Joshua. I know what is in your heart and mind. And I tell you, everything's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. You're going to be successful and prosperous because you put your faith and trust in Almighty Yahweh. So just stand and be strong and courageous." All of us needs these kind of words at some time. And most of us need it very often. And that is encouragement. We all need encouragement. Not a one excepted. And the last words of the Apostle Paul are found in 2 Timothy. The last recorded words of his life. Paul had been arrested, and his trial had proceeded far enough that he knew that there was no hope of escape. He was in Rome at the mercy of the most powerful man on earth at that time. Arrested and on trial. Four things that he did not do. He was not guilty of, but yet accused of, arrested of, on trial for. Makes you sort of think of Yeshua. Sort of like that. And you know Yeshua let us know, all of his disciples and followers, that this would be something that would be possible, if not likely, in our lives also, that we would have to take up our cross and follow him. Even through trials, even through some hardships and bad things. While waiting in the Roman prison for Paul's time of departure, he wrote these words to Timothy, a trusted friend, and one he referred to as his son. And I'm sure that Timothy looked upon him as a type of father and got a lot of his instruction from him. These were not easy days to be a Christian, to dare to be a leader of a local church was to literally volunteer to be a martyr. So Paul wrote this letter to his son, spiritual son, for the purpose of encouraging Timothy to be strong and courageous. These were some of the most trying times in the entirety of the church's history. We think we've got bad times now, and we do. But the Christians nowadays, at least these in our part of the world, don't have to be thinking of being nailed to a cross or thrown to wild animals or be burned as torches. But the need is as great now as it was in Paul's day for us to stand firm and be strong and be courageous. We have a lot to be thankful for, because we have truth that other people and other churches do not have. We enjoy much insight that I think many churches need but do not have. We need to be thankful to God for all that He has entrusted to us, and be strong and courageous in our service to Him. A strong and courageous Christian has a heritage to enjoy. Paul's purpose was to inspire and to strengthen Timothy for his task at Ephesus, to keep his courage high and his efforts strenuous. Paul reminded Timothy of the heritage that was his to enjoy. And part of that was knowing that there was other people that had firm belief in you. And that's part of our heritage, is knowing that others believe in us. Paul reminded Timothy of Paul's own trust in Timothy. No greater encouragement is ours than to know that someone believes in us. An appeal to honor is effective. The fear that we might let down others is a constructive fear. And the fact that others believe in us and look up to us is a heritage to enjoy. Just as we had that heritage of our loved ones from the last 50 more years of this church. Our uncles, aunts, mothers, brothers, spouses that have gone on. We have the heritage of knowing how they put their love and trust in God. That's part of our heritage. And we need to thank God for that. Also, that we have a Christian family that supports us. Paul reminded Timothy of Timothy's tradition, family tradition. If Timothy fell, not only would he mar his own name, but he would lessen the honor of his family as well. A Christian family is one of the greatest gifts that a person can have. And many of us, most of us in this church today, have that tradition. Have that past of knowing that our moms and dads and aunts and uncles and other loved ones, knowing that they loved God. A calling also that requires the best of you. Your calling to be a witness for Christ requires the very best that is in you to give. So we need to be strong and courageous in witnessing. Also, besides a heritage of Christian, a courageous Christian has a hope to share. That, let's look at 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. You see key words in there such as ashamed. Paul was not ashamed of his trust in Jesus Christ, of his knowledge of the truth that came his way. The hope and faith that we have in Christ are never a cause for shame, but always a truth to share. Do you notice the word know in there? Paul was confident in his life in God, in his knowledge of God's way. And he says, I know whom I have believed. I'm convinced of what I know. And I'm going to work for God and I'm going to share what I know with others. Also, we get from this that Paul was committed to what has been entrusted to him. A courageous Christian has a hope to share. Also, a courageous Christian has help to offer. Witnessing and discipling others. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. For if I cause you sorrow, who then makes me glad but the one whom I made sorrowful? It's not only our privilege to receive the gospel, it's also our duty to transmit it. And as a result, the church grows. And you know how the church grows? Not just by adding one or two here and there, but the church grows somewhat like knowing compounded interest. How your money put to use in the right way, in the best way, earns interest. And then that interest earns interest. And then all of that interest earns interest. Compounded. And so it is with the family of God, that God brings us into his family. Then we are entrusted with that. And then we try to help others. And as a result of that, others come to God. And then they do the same. It's compounded. That's how God wants his plan to work. That's how others are led in. Ask yourself, how many spiritual grandchildren and great-grandchildren do I have? In other words, you think about your life and you think about others that have become better better people, better Christians, perhaps even led to the Lord initially. And then as a result of that, then on and on. Proclaiming Bible truths. And a lot of these truths are truths that we find that help us with our own problems and our own needs. The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our life. Corrections that we need to make. We heard of one of those in our Torah study this morning. It seemed to be predominantly about that one word, pride. And if we would pick another, maybe we would say tongue. Two very important words. Pride, we need to get it out of our life. We need to not have it. We need to learn how to get rid of it. To shun it. The Bible is to teach us what is to be useful to us and to others. It straightens us out and helps us do what is right. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3 and 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. God sends His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit leads us and guides us in every aspect of our life and also into the receiving more truth. And this helps us because it equips us to help others, hopefully winning others into the family of God. May not always be a popular way. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4 and starting with the first verse. 2 Timothy 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickle, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Boy, have you ever heard such of a dead-on verse that would describe our times? Only wanting to accept what suits your lifestyle, what suits what you're doing, or not wanting to do. Wanting your ears tickle, wanting to only hear what you want to hear, to justify what you're doing. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myth. Our way, God's way, may not be always popular. And it may not be that type that draws many people in. A courageous Christian has hurts to avoid. And for a courageous Christian to be effective in the service of Christ, he or she has to avoid certain hurts. And Paul mentions four of them in his letter. And one, the first one is theological arguments. You might even want to say the real truth. A lot of people don't want to hear the real truth, the bottom line. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2 and starting with the 14th verse. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. Isn't that so true? Letting your tongue just totally run away. Let's skip to verse 23 and see what it says. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. Almost makes you think of that verse where it says, don't cast your pearls before swine. It's useless. It's going to serve no purpose. Wasted time. There's times when too much talk can be positively dangerous. The Christian alternative is found in verse 15. Let's look at that. Verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Paul also discusses moral compromise. In the 22nd verse, let's look at 2:22. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Christian people, as well as all other young people, Christian young people, have the same urges as non-Christian. And when they fail to flee youthful lust, the same emotional and biological consequences are experienced by them as by any other young person. Paul says, flee youthful lust. And that's what he means. Don't give in to the things that you see everyone else doing around you. You don't have to be in the in crowd. You don't have to be in the clique. You shouldn't feel like you have to be in the clique in order to be fulfilled, in order to feel like you have worth. You have much more worth if you follow the guidelines that God sets out. In social trends, as in 2 Timothy 3, starting with the first verse, let's look at that, 2 Timothy 3:1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. That's a mouthful, isn't it? That's plenty of instruction there. Pointing out the type of person that we don't need to be, and leading us toward that kind of person that we should be. Paul warns Timothy not to get involved and entangled in this kind of behavior. He says that as time passes on, social trends will not get better, but get worse. And he talks last of spiritual unfaithfulness. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. And we have a few of the people that Paul knew and had worked with. And he sort of sums up some of them in some of his words in his letters. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Do you see how Paul is speaking of some of his fellow workers? What were it was his fellow workers? And sadly, today, we have ones that are like Demas. Having loved this present world and deserted their church, deserted their service to God, deserted their brothers and sisters in the Lord. Sadly, but true. And lastly, a courageous Christian has heaven to gain. And Paul wrote these words in the midst of unbelievable persecution. And this was perhaps the darkest day of his life. He was about to be executed for a crime that he did not commit. And friends were forsaking him. And yet, there's no doubt that the church as a whole, though seemingly at this particular time defeated, but absolutely knowing that the church at the end was going to be triumphant. And Paul had that knowledge of those verses that he said in another place. You remember the verse where it says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? Paul knew that even as his head would roll from his body, as it did, he knew that he would still be, and he would ultimately be, in the love and protection and in the ultimate care of the Lord. And that's why he wrote those words, that he knew to be absent from the body and from this world, for those in the family of God, would be to be present with the Lord. We need to comfort ourselves in those regards. And we need to always know that we need to be a strong and a courageous Christian, just as Joshua was encouraged by God to be, just as the Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy to be. Today, that's how we need to be living our life. We need to be strong and courageous for God. If you would, stand with me, and let's all read our blessing of God to us and us to each other. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.